I'm humbled and I feel very privileged to enter into this sacred space in the midst of this beautiful weekend that I know is already beginning to touch your hearts and I know can have a very powerful impact, has had a powerful impact on so many women. And I know that I bring something unique, namely Y chromosomes, into the midst of this environment. And knowing that Y chromosomes also tend to make us like an elephant in a china shop, I just want to ask for your prayers for a moment. If you could pray for me that I would speak a word that would not interfere with, but would facilitate the deepening of your intimacy and openness with the Lord, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what the Lord wants to say to you. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Joseph, Saint John Paul II. Well, we have this cheery message in the gospel to go right along with the theme of the retreat. Blood, destruction, death, random killing of people, cutting things down. It's kind of male gospel now that we come to it. Jesus is not exactly trying to scare us, although depending on where our conscience is, it might facilitate a little bit of that, but I'd like to look at it from a little different perspective. This man who comes to his fig tree. Do you notice how persistent he is in coming to that fig tree? Again and again, filled with hope for 3 years. 3 years is still a significant percentage of your life. It's a slightly less significant percentage of my life and less significant all the time, but 3 years is a long time. And the number three in the scriptures has a sense of completeness, you know, like the three persons of the Trinity. And so really, for the full amount of time, this man has come again and again and again. And he looks at this fig tree and he looks at it with hopefulness. He looks for fruit to be brought forth. He knows the capacity of this fig tree. He knows that fig trees can bear figs. So he knows what he's looking for. And he comes and he sees and he examines and he looks with great hope. And I think that's the starting place that we have to come to in our understanding of how God looks at us and how God persistently comes to us and how God is fascinated, captivated by our lives, how he sees us, and he knows everything about us. He's examined every branch, and he's looked under every leaf, and he knows the good things that we can bring forth, and he believes in us. And that's why he keeps coming again and again and again, constantly. He's constantly looking. This parable should begin to cut through any lies that we have that God is kind of distant, that he's only half interested, that he pays attention every once in a while when we make enough noise, but otherwise he's busy doing his own things, that God doesn't really know us, that he doesn't really know what we're capable of, and that he's not really all that fascinated with the things that we can bring forth. Maybe we can make it shiny enough that it catches his attention, but otherwise he doesn't really care. That's not the God that we believe in. That's not the God that Jesus presents to us in the scriptures. That's not the God that Jesus himself is. Now, we might even take a distortion from this passage and say, oh, well, God only gives us this kind of limited time span, 3 years. It's never enough. God is always more demanding and never gives us enough time to work through the processes that we need to work through. And so we put all this pressure on ourselves. I've got to get it done. I've got to bear the fruit. that's also not God. Let's take that 3 years as the fullness of time. God gives us the full amount of time that we need in order to bear the fruit that he is so delighted, so eager to behold and to receive. God gives us all the time that we need, and he knows better than anyone. And now what's going on here in the parable? He's come to the end of this time. So now think, the full amount of time that you need, how much time do you need? We can tell him, well, I need, 75 years, Lord, before I can ever produce any fruit. Give yourself as much time as you think you need. And God gives us that full amount of time, and at the end of that time, he says, where's the fruit? And even then, we have an advocate. Our Lord Jesus steps in the middle of it and says, whoa, wait. I'm going to work even harder. This poor girl hasn't produced any fruit in her 75 years or whatever it is. I'm still going to work harder and give her another year. And not only another year, but you'll get different translations. But I looked at the Greek before I decided to say anything. That's one of the things I can do to impress you, right? You can look at the Greek. So, and the translation we heard in the lectionary is good because sometimes the translation says, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it, and it may bear fruit in that year. But it doesn't actually even say in that year. It doesn't even say in the future. It just says, and it may bear fruit. So even when there's this intervention, this mediator who sees more goodness in us even than we've produced, and perhaps out of our sinfulness, perhaps out of our hardness of heart, perhaps our wounds and our resistance, and we've closed in and we've had all this time, we've had all these opportunities and still we haven't borne fruit, and still we have a mediator who intervenes and he says, how about another year? And then he leaves it open-ended. The tree may still bear fruit, not even just in the next year. God is really on our side. God is really extending himself the full amount of time and then some. God, even when he reaches what should be enough, he still extends himself and works even harder so that we will bear that fruit that he knows that we can bear. God believes in you. You have a Father who knows you and who is fascinated with you, and who comes to you, and who's so delighted to watch you, the way that you live, the things that you do, because he knows the goodness that can come forth from your hearts. You have a bridegroom and a savior who intervenes even when, for whatever reason, your own wounds, your own hardness of heart, your own sinfulness, your own bad decisions, even when you've stopped that process of bearing that good fruit, you have a Savior who comes to you and intervenes and works even harder and focuses even more attention on you. You have more attention on you than you possibly know what to do with. That's my promise to you. It's true for each one of us. God gives us so much attention, because he sees the beauty that's there. And he loves nothing more than for that beauty to come to its fullness, to blossom, and to be radiant and revealed so that others can see, so that others can be moved, so that others can know the love that he has. What does this fruit look like that we're called to bear? In the first reading, St. Paul gave us this promise. He said, grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace is given to each of us. Each of us have received gifts. You have received a gift that I have not received and I will never receive. You have received the gift of being woman. I don't have it. Promise you. And I won't have it. Even in eternity, I won't have the gift of being woman. But you have that gift. You have lots of other gifts. You have beautiful gifts. But it's one gift that you have, and it's one gift that you're reflecting on and cultivating and being aware of in a special way, and offering to the Lord this weekend. We have a beautiful opportunity. One of the men who really understood the gift of womanhood was our today's saint, John Paul II. And I just want to touch on briefly a couple of points that he makes about being woman, part of that gift that God wants to cultivate in each of you and bring forth. A woman, he says in his apostolic letter on women, the dignity and vocation of women, Mulieris Dignitatem, a woman is sensitive to life. And he sees that in this positive way. He says, the mother is filled with wonder at the mystery of life and understands with unique intuition what is happening inside of her. In the light of the beginning, the mother accepts and loves as a person the child she is carrying in the womb. You have this amazing gift of being able to have a whole human being inside of you. That's fascinating. I don't know where you would get that space from. I don't have that space. I don't have space for another human being inside of me. But you have that space. And whether you even become mothers or not, your whole person is oriented around that reality. And so as John Paul II intuits from that gift of the body, from that reality of the body, you have this sensitivity to persons. Even a person who might live inside of you and live from you and whom you've never met, as it turns out. A complete stranger that you house in your own body for a period of time and you develop a relationship with that person. So you have this capacity to develop a relationship with a complete stranger who lives inside of you. Right? That gives you a profound sensitivity, not just to the baby that can live in your womb, but to people in general. A capacity to develop relationships. So John Paul II says, it is commonly thought that women are more capable than men of paying attention to another person, and that motherhood develops this predisposition even more. Women are more capable than men than in paying attention to another person. Now, he says that very carefully. It is commonly thought, like, well, duh. I mean, anybody who's been paying attention for more than 5 minutes has discovered that this happens all over the place. Women are able to pay attention to another person better than men can. I'm sorry to say, many of you have borne wounds from this reality, not understanding why the men that you're paying attention to are like clueless and off in outer space somewhere. And even if you get their attention for 5 minutes, that's about it. Now, we're all able to grow in this, but to see the starting point, the gift that you already have, and how beautiful it is when you can give that, when you can be sensitive to life. Now, John Paul II also sees this in a negative way. He looks at the parable or the account of the woman caught in adultery. You know, there were two who sinned if she was caught in adultery, but all the focus is on her. And the men who are accusers have apparently forgotten about their side of it. And Pope John Paul also brings that into the sin of abortion and says, well, sometimes the man can push this whole process, but the woman never forgets the child that was in her womb. Women bear the pain, deep pain. And you bear a lot of interrelational pain, a lot of pain that comes through brokenness, bad decisions, the sins that perhaps you are complicit in, but perhaps also initiated by the man. You bear a lot of this pain in a way that men, in their own compartmentalization, can move on and forget about and whatever else. You carry that. You have the gift of that relationality, and you also can bear the pain of that relationality. In both cases, it can bear much fruit. Even the pain, that sensitivity can be more open. The more wounded we are, the more healing we can receive, the more grace we can receive. Our wounds actually become an opening to a deeper transformation. Where sin abounds, and we could say where pain abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so, women excel in compassion. Look at the foot of the cross. Women outnumber men there, huh? 3-1, 5-1, whatever it is. There's several women listed in different accounts of the Passion. The apostles are outnumbered by the women who are still there. Your capacity to bear pain, your own pain, but also the pain of others. Beautiful gift. Jesus discusses with women the deepest truths of the faith. You have a capacity to listen and to receive truth from Christ. We're going to have a chance for some time with the Lord. You already do, and some time in prayer. Listen to Him. You have a capacity to listen to Him and receive the truth and take it into your hearts and ponder it like Our Lady. You have a special sensitivity that makes you able to receive, receptive to the mysteries. And lastly, as Pope John Paul points out, all of this comes to its greatest fulfillment when there is a woman there who receives the greatest mystery, the life-giving mystery of the resurrection. Who is the one who remains? Who is the one who is the first witness? Who is the one who witnesses that to the apostles? And Pope Francis recognized that this year by raising up Mary Magdalene to the level of apostle, naming her Apostle of the Apostles officially, that's her title, and gave her the level of a feast. We celebrate July 22nd now as a feast so that she's celebrated at the same level as the other apostles. A woman is able to receive that greatest mystery. Your sensitivity to the mysteries that Christ reveals to us is a profound gift. I just list a few things about the gift that you have as women, the fruits that you can bear, the kinds of things that God the Father is looking for when He draws close to you constantly. Like the owner drew close to that fig tree. The Father is close to you, watching you, examining, looking for the fruit that you bear, fascinated and delighted. And every little fruit that you bear, He notices and delights in. And you have an advocate who works for you, sacrifices for you. And if you feel like you don't have enough time, He gives you more time. And He helps you as much as you need to be helped. So as we come before Him and receive Him in this Eucharist, let us allow Him to care for us in all the ways that we need in order to bear that good fruit that God knows that we can bear.